Good morning and welcome to Hunt Springs Baptist Church, and also welcome to Coolwater Cowboy Church as we join together today via the internet. I never thought I'd see a time that our church doors would be closed on Sunday. I know we've experienced things like this before due to weather and other circumstances, but not a nationwide closing and a social distancing from one another that we couldn't gather together. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Kind Father, as come before you today, Lord, I pray that you would just be with us this morning, that you'd guide, direct us, that your Holy Spirit would be with us now. Preaching to empty pews, Lord, I just don't have the camaraderie, the support, the Lord, just the presence of your Spirit in every believer as they just bring the life to a service. And Lord, I've already tried to record this and it just seems like I'm preaching to the microphone. I pray now that your Spirit would intervene, the power would be given, that the word could go out. You tell us in your word, Lord, that we are to proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sin till you return. So help us do that here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We face a difficult time. We face a time that none of us are used to. We've been kind of tilted out of our normal routines. We are socially separated today as we gather for this message, but we're also socially separated as we go through the normal routines of life. Work has been interrupted, school's interrupted, family get-togethers, vacations, graduations. There's all kinds of things that this social separation we're experiencing has caused. When we think about being socially separated, we need to understand that it is for our benefit. It is to stop the spread of this disease, the transmission of this disease. Actually, the CDC defines social distancing as a public health practice that aims to prevent sick people from coming in close contact with healthy people in order to reduce opportunities for the disease transmission. The coronavirus has been called an invisible enemy. The COVID-19 pandemic has caused us to implement social distancing protocols. I stand here today before these empty pews. I never thought that I would see a time that we couldn't gather for public worship. I never thought I'd see the time that our doors would be closed. We are all here this morning feeling the effects of this pandemic. Whether you're sick or not, these mandates to be socially separated have affected us all in different ways. But today, what I want to talk to you about is another invisible enemy. Another invisible enemy that causes social distancing. Sin is an invisible enemy that causes social separations. Now, we see the effects of sin. We see anger. We see sickness. We see families separated because of things that's going on for hurts. We see all this, but sin itself, that attitude of sin, that sin that is working in the world around us, that causes us to be tempted to do these things, that is an invisible enemy that we're always combating. This invisible enemy causes social separation. Sin separates us from God. Sin also separates us from one another. Because God is holy, he is immune to the effect of sin, but because he is just, God cannot allow sin to infect his kingdom or his people. As we think about social separation, we have to think about the effects that sin have on all of us. As sinners, we are separated from God, and as we sin and hurt one another, we are separated from each other. But first, let's think about the separation that sin brings between us and God. Isaiah 59:2 says, "But our iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. That is bad news, but there's good news also in Isaiah. The good news is that God is never too far away, that he cannot remove the barriers of our separation. Isaiah 59:1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that he cannot hear." The next time we think about separation, when we think about being separated from God, when we think about being separated from one another, we need to think about forgiveness. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, verse 33 and 34, we are reminded of God's forgiveness. We are reminded that God forgives. We also are reminded that God forgives, and as forgiven of God, we should forgive also. We are forgiven, therefore we should forgive. The cure for social distancing, the cure for social separation is forgiveness. Has anyone ever hurt you? Have you ever been betrayed by a friend or a family member? Has anyone ever abandoned you? Maybe someone has promised that they'll always be in your corner. But when the going gets tough, the selfish get going. Has anyone ever hurt you physically, financially? Maybe someone is constantly verbally abusive to you. When we deal with human contact, with relationship, interaction with strangers and acquaintances, we all run the chance of being injured, of being hurt, either emotionally, physically, mentally, or rationally. When we are hurt by the effects of sin, when we are hurt by the cruel things that we do to one another, we often find it hard to forgive. We don't want to put ourselves back in close contact with people because we fear we'll be hurt again. We can regularly hurt those close to us just as we can be hurt by those who we come in contact with. The question is not whether somebody will hurt us, but when will we get hurt? I asked you this morning, why can we so easily hurt one another, but we find it so difficult to forgive one another? Luke 23:33-34 tells us how to learn to forgive. Jesus teaches his disciples how to forgive so that they can teach others how to forgive. The next time you ask yourself, "How can I forgive?" I want you to say this out loud. Say, "I can forgive because I heard my Savior pray. Jesus prayed, 'Father, forgive them.'" Look with me, if you will. Luke 23. In verse 33, it says, "And when they came to a place called the Skull, they were there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing.' And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among them." Let us pray. Kind Father, we come before you this morning. And Father, as we look at this text, I pray that you would be with us. Let us see the respect that Jesus has for your plan of salvation, and let us purpose in our hearts to have that same respect that, Lord, we are willing to pray, not only to experience your forgiveness, but also to extend your forgiveness to others. Lord, let us remember that we need to know the need of our request, that we need to know the reason of our request, that, Lord, we need to know how to rightly respond to our request. And, Lord, we need to always remember that how we respond will result in how we live our life with you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We must understand that we first need to respect God's plan of forgiveness. As we look at verse 34, it's pretty simple here. This is Jesus' first saying from the cross. Jesus has been tried three times there, and he's gone through these trials. He's been found innocent in all of them, yet he is still being sent to the cross to die for the sins of the world. He's being sent to the cross out of public opinion instead of out of justice. And as we see this, as they have crucified him, nailed him to the cross, Jesus says, Father. It is a prayer for those who are crucifying Jesus. It is a prayer for these soldiers that are nailing the spikes through his hands and nailing his feet to the bloody cross. It is a prayer to respect God's plan for forgiveness. We've already seen this prayer in verse 42 of chapter 22. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying, and he says there, Father. It's an intimate relationship between the Son of God and the Father of God, the first person of the Trinity and the second person of the Trinity. As he prays, he says, if you're willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but your will be done. The first thing we need to realize about the forgiveness and about learning to be forgiven and learning to forgive is that God has got a design for the forgiveness of sin and separation. That design is the cross of Christ. Jesus says, Father. He's not asking that the Lord take him off the cross. He's not asking that the Lord strike down his enemies. Did you know that Jesus could have come down on the cross? He could have come down from the cross and with one sweep of his hand destroyed all humanity. Yet he says, Father. He respected the plan that God had. 3:18 says, For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Christ died once for all sin. The just for the unjust. Here we see that Pilate three times finds Jesus innocent. We see that he finds no guilt in him in verse 4 of chapter 23. We see here that he finds no guilt of Jesus in any way in verse 14. Verse 22 says, for the third time, he says, what evil has this man done? I have found in him no guilt demanding death. And he says, therefore, I'll punish him and release him. What happens to Jesus? Jesus is innocent, yet the people are crying out, crucify him, crucify him. Jesus respects God's plan. As we see that Jesus is innocent, in verse 26, it tells us that as they was leading Jesus away to be crucified, that we see how cruel this was. Quintilian, the historian, once wrote, whenever we crucify the condemned, the most crowded roads are chosen, where the most people can see and be removed by this terror. For the penalties relate not so much to retribution as an example. The authorities approve the crucifixion of wrongdoers to be hung in the place which they are used to haunt, so that by the spectacle others may be deterred from the same crimes, and so that it may be, when the penalty has been carried out, bring comfort to the relatives and the friends of victims who have been harmed or killed by wrongdoers. Forgiveness does not forgive the event of a wrongdoing. The act was committed. The wrong has been done. The wrong has hurt, and the hurt is real. Forgiveness pardons the guilt of the wrongdoer. Forgiveness does not forget the wrong. Instead, forgiveness cancels out the debt of guilt. Jesus did not forget our sins. Jesus forgave our sin. God's plan for forgiveness is unique in that His holiness has separated our sin from us, and His justice removes our guilt so that we are no longer socially distanced from our relationship with Him. As we look at this and think about what has happened, it's a lot of debate on why Jesus couldn't carry this cross. Is it because He'd already been punished? Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, instead of the normal beating, the normal abuse, the normal punishment, he was punished with the punishment deserving of someone who hadn't committed a crime worthy of death. Jesus was beaten almost to death. But then on top of that, he was still going to go to the cross and die. So a lot of people says, well, he was beaten so badly and he was beaten so severely that he was so weak that he could no longer carry the cross. This could be true. Jesus physically had taken more than any of us would be able to bear. Yet I believe the reason that Luke has included this also in this text is to show us that, as we've seen, the whole shame of crucifixion was to show the guilt of the one being crucified. It was to get justice for those who had been harmed. It was an admission of guilt. Therefore, you carried your cross to the place of execution, admitting that I am guilty, I am deserving of this death. Yet we see that Jesus didn't carry this cross, but the man Simon did. Jesus innocently went to the cross for the sins that we have committed. And here we see that is God's plan, that Jesus would die for the sins of the world. He would be the spotless lamb that took away the sins of the world. So we see that there is a respect for God's plan of forgiveness. But also we must request this forgiveness. As we request this forgiveness, here's Jesus' request. He says, Father, I respect your plan, forgive them. About forgiveness, it is extremely important to note that the focus on forgiveness, a biblical meaning of forgiveness, is showing that the forgiveness is upon the guilt of the wrongdoer and not upon the wrongdoing itself. The event of wrongdoing is not undone, but the guilt resulting from such an event is pardoned. To forgive, therefore, means essentially to remove the guilt resulting from the wrongdoing. So when we translate the biblical words for forgiveness, some language make it clear distinction between guilt and sin. And the terms for forgiveness are therefore related to the guilt and not to the wrongdoer. Jesus was innocent, yet he died in our stead. Jesus is our mediator. He stands between us and God. Scripture says there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. So as we sometimes think about forgiveness, and we think that forgiveness is about forgetting, it's not forgetting the act that happened. It is not letting go. To forgive, therefore, means essentially to remove the guilt resulting from wrongdoing. So when Jesus asked that they are forgiven, he's asking that their guilt be removed from them. We must acknowledge the reason for our request also. He says that the reason he's requesting their forgiveness is for they know not what they're doing. when we think about this idea of Jesus asking for their forgiveness, he's talking about the Roman soldiers here. They're the ones who crucified him. They're the ones who cast in lots for his garments. He says they know not what they're doing. They probably did not even know the law and the prophets, and they probably lacked any information about Jesus' ministry. They probably didn't understand all that. But when we come to the close of Luke's gospel here, you know, Jesus tells the disciples that we're to proclaim repentance for the forgiveness of sin to all the nations. So, specifically, Jesus is talking about these soldiers, but the implication applies to all of us. So you could, in a way, say, who is them? Who is Jesus asking them to forgive? Well, just make a blank right there and fill in your name. You can say, Father, forgive Wesley. Forgive Bobby. Forgive Terry. Forgive Diana. Forgive Mona. Forgive Deborah. Forgive, you fill in the blank. Put your name in here. Forgive Mark. Forgive Eddie. Put anybody's name in here you want to. We're all guilty before God. We've all sinned before God. But Jesus is not asking here that the hurt and the pain not be, that they be forgotten. Think about this. The event of the crucifixion actually happened. Forgiving our sins did not change Jesus' suffering, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Same way with us. When we get hurt, we're not just forgiving someone in the sense that we say, okay, I'll forget about what they done. We can't forget about what they done. It hurt. It was bad. Whether it was physically, mentally, or emotionally, whatever they did to us, whether they slandered us, talked about us, bullied us, whatever happened, that event really happened. But to forgive them is to say, Lord, I want to forgive them. Father, forgive them. You forgive them, Lord. This is out of my hands. So we asked and acknowledge the reason for our request. I have been hurt. Something has happened here, Lord. I'm asking you to forgive them. But to do that, we got to respect God's plan of salvation. God's plan of salvation is the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus died the just for the unjust for all the sins, once for all the sins of the world. When we ask God to forgive someone else, to forgive our enemies, Jesus says to pray for our enemies. When we pray and we forgive them, we're saying, I'm trusting in God's plan. At the cross of Christ, justice will be carried out. That person will either accept the forgiveness of Jesus Christ and his sins or her sins against you will be forgiven at the cross, or they'll deny Christ. And if they deny Christ, they will stand before a holy and righteous God in their own sin, condemned, sentenced to eternity, separated from God forever and ever. And that's a terrible thought, to think that someone we know, someone we love, may never be forgiven. But when we are forgiven, we can trust in God's forgiveness, in Jesus' cleansing. We can be moved. We can know that our reason for the request. Also, we need to examine our response. Jesus asked for the forgiveness of these soldiers, and it says here that they're casting lots for his garments among themselves. As we look at the responses here in this text this morning, we can see that when it comes to respecting God's plan of forgiveness, of making our request known for forgiveness, and for also acknowledging the reason of the request, that we need forgiveness, we see here that how we respond makes a difference. We can examine our responses and see that the wrong being done has been canceled, but it does not guarantee that the wrongdoers will respond with repentance and glorifying God. Some will, others will not. So if we forgive someone, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to respond in the way we'd like them to. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to change their ways. It doesn't necessarily mean that everything's going to be reconciled right away. Look at the soldiers. They gambled for Jesus' earthly possessions. Sometimes Jesus offers us forgiveness, but we would rather just have the earthly possessions Jesus offers instead of the eternal blessings. We might want to have a position in church. We might want a better job. We might look at all these things that we can have and we'll say, well, I'll go to church, I'll do this, I'll do that. That's about all I need. And we never truly accept Jesus' forgiveness. We never examine, are we really thankful for our forgiveness? Do we understand how sinful we were and how separated we were from God, and that Jesus had to die for our sins, that we could be reconciled to God, that we could be known by God? Or do we just want the blessings while we're here on this earth? The physical things, the material things we have in life, the things that right now we are shut off from, the meals that we go out and eat, the job that we enjoy, the camaraderie, the sports we enjoy. Is that just all we want? We want God just to bless us so we have a good time while we're here? Or do we want to enjoy a fellowship with God and with His people, living in harmony? They gamble for His clothes. We can also just have pity for Jesus' suffering. Verse 35 says that the people stood by. They stood by and they was looking on. Originally, we see in the other Gospels that all the people was mocking Jesus. They was hurling insults at Him. But as it goes on here, they start to see Jesus hanging on the cross. They see how much He's suffering. And this word, looking on, they just stood there. They're just looking. They was having pity for this prophet that they'd been following. And it says that even the rulers sneered at Him. It means that they turned up their nose at Him. They rejected God's plan. They was rejecting Jesus' sacrifice. They were even saying, verse 35, that He saved others. Let Him save Himself if He is the Christ of God, His chosen one. The soldiers also mocked Him more. They come up to Him offering Him sour wine. They was toasting Him and mocking His kingship. They said, if you're the King of the Jews, save yourself. And also, politically, Jesus had been mocked. There was an inscription above His head that says, this is the King of the Jews. You know, we need to respond. We need to examine our response to the offer of forgiveness that Jesus brings us by His death and by His resurrection. As we examine that, we must recognize the result. Because whatever response we make to Jesus' forgiveness, we have to live with the result. Here in verse 39, we see that one of the criminals who was hanged there was hurling abuse at Him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other answered, and rebuking Him, said, do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? Hey, we are indeed suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds, but this man, he's done nothing wrong. And as he was saying this, he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. We must live with the result. We can live condemned or we can live reconciled. We can have earthly gain or eternal gratitude because God desires to forgive us. Here He's saying, Jesus, remember. Remember me. Remember my action. Remember my response to your forgiveness. Repentance and submission to your rule over my life. He says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He's being crucified with Christ, yet hearing this prayer, hearing His Savior pray, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This thief, this criminal, realizes that Jesus is coming into his kingdom, that Jesus is a ruler of a different kind than he's ever seen on this earth. And he says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Take rule of my life. Forgive me. I'm repenting. I want to live in your kingdom under your rule. And Jesus says this famous promise, today you'll be with me in paradise. You know, we all must live with the result of how we respond to Jesus' offer of forgiveness. Jesus offers forgiveness to everyone, but not everyone will be forgiven because not everyone will accept Jesus' forgiveness. To accept Jesus' forgiveness, we've got to know the reason we need forgiving. And it's because we have sinned against a holy and righteous God. But if we ask Jesus to forgive us, he will. 2 Chronicles 7:14 reminds us that when my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. If we remember before, our separation from God caused him not to even hear us. But when we humble ourselves and cry out to God and say, Father, I respect your plan of salvation. I believe that I can be forgiven no other way than by the blood of Jesus. I'm a sinner unclean. Please forgive me and reconcile me to you. Then we can know that that response we've made, that God, because we've asked, he's heard us from heaven. He'll forgive us our sins. He'll heal our land. He'll heal our circumstances. And also we need to remember that the Lord is compassionate and gracious. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dwelt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed the transgressions from us. As we think about this morning, let us learn to be forgiven. And as the forgiven, we should also forgive others. We do not need to harbor resentment towards those who've sinned against us. As we've been forgiven, we need to forgive them. You know, it's been said that resentment is like pouring out a glass of poison, sitting down and drinking it, and then sitting there waiting for your enemy to die. You know, we all carry resentment in our hearts for people that's done things to us. But when we realize how much Jesus paid to forgive us, we should forgive those. We can pray and say, Father, I respect your plan of forgiveness. I believe with all my heart that you are a just God, that you'll let no sin go unpunished, that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world, and either people will confess their sins, be forgiven, and Jesus has already paid the price, or they will stand before you and they will give an answer for their deeds. We need to remember that when we forgive someone, we're forgiving their guilt. We're not forgiving the act. The act happened. We're not submitting ourselves to be a doormat for people to walk on again. When you forgive someone, some of them will respond and accept it. And with repentance, they will change. They'll make restitution. It doesn't mean that we got to immediately be great friends again, but it does mean that we've forgiven them and we're not dwelling on that hurt, that we're asking the Lord to forgive them and help us forgive them. Help us deal with the hurt that they have caused us. Luke 17 3 and 4, Jesus says, be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times a day and returns 7 times saying, I repent, Jesus says to forgive him again. The blessing that we have of forgiveness is even if we are forgiven by Christ, we've accepted his forgiveness, we still sin at times. When we do, the Bible tells us that if we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, cleanse us from our unrighteous deeds, from the sin that is in our lives. As we forgive other people, when we pray and ask the Father in heaven to forgive them, we're asking him to change them, to forgive the guilt, and then change them, cleanse them from their unrighteous acts so they don't continually hurt other people or hurt us. When we ask them for forgiveness, we want to see folks changed. We want to see them have fruit of repentance. The fruit of repentance is a changed life, and that's what we're looking for. This morning, let us consider that the Lord has given us a ministry of reconciliation. The scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 and following. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away, and behold, new things have come. When we are forgiven, our life changes. If someone forgives us, we shouldn't keep committing the same acts towards them. If Jesus has forgiven us, we should forgive others. We should not hold on to resentment in our hearts, to separate people, and to be separated. We should be seeking reconciliation. Verse 18 says, now these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ as though God was making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God. Let us pray. Kind Father, today I pray that you help us. If anyone's listening to this message and never accepted the forgiveness of Christ Jesus, I pray this would be the morning that they would seek his forgiveness, that they would ask by simply saying, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I've not lived life your way. I believe that you come and lived the life that I should have lived, died the death I deserved, you was buried. 3 days later, God raised you so that I know I could have new life, abundant life with you, a forgiven life. I pray that if you're a Christian this morning and you've been forgiven by Christ, but you have a difficult time forgiving others, that you just remember that forgiveness is a continual thing. There's some people, as Luke says here in chapter 17, that you'll have to continually forgive. That doesn't mean you're a doormat. That doesn't mean that you have to continually let them hurt you. It means just forgive the guilt of their sin and move on. It may be with time that you'll see fruit of their repentance, your relationships will be reconciled, and you can move forward together. But don't harbor resentment against others. When you do, that separates you. Separates you from God, because God has called us to be forgiving. Jesus says that we're to forgive one another as your Father in heaven forgives you. So I trust that this week, right now, if there's someone in your life that you just can't forgive, you just don't see no way possible that you would just make your request known to the Lord. Say, Lord, I respect your plan of forgiveness. I know that you'll forgive, and in the end, all sin will be punished one way or the other. Please forgive me for not forgiving. Forgive this person I'm having a problem with. Lord, I'm asking you to help me to forgive them and move on past this. Lord, I just want to respond to your forgiveness by forgiving others. Lord, I pray that you just help me enjoy the result of my forgiveness, and that is living socially acceptable before you and socially with everyone else.